Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
The Lord is so good to us. I want to read just a verse of scripture very quickly before you're seated. I want to read Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. So good to be in the presence of the Lord on a Tuesday night. Amen. It's awesome. As difficult as Mondays are, and sometimes Tuesdays, you know, Tuesdays kind of have the lingering lull of Monday. It's been good to have church on Monday and Tuesday. Kind of just pushes us along a little bit throughout the week. Amen. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready." That's verse 11. "And be ready." Everybody say, "Be ready." "And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And be ready, because the Lord is coming down." And be ready, because the Lord is coming down. Amen. We're going to sort of continue where we left off last night. If you weren't here, I preached on the subject, fasting makes you hungry. So for those of you who weren't here last night, we're just going to catch you up and let you know we've begun a 40-day fast. And so you need to catch up. But tonight we can continue on with what we started last night. But if I had a second title or a subtitle, it would be simply, "Get ready." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Get ready. The Lord is coming down." You may be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you very much. Amen. Get ready. I've preached it here. Pastor Hansen has preached it here. So it's definitely not a new concept, a new verse of scripture. I don't believe I put this on the list I gave them last night. That was as long as a phone book, if you remember what those are, of scriptures, so they don't have to hurry and put this up if it's a hassle. But in Isaiah 43, God gives the prophecy. He tells them to remember not the former things in verse 18, and he says, "Neither consider the things of old." And in verse 19, he says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And I feel like I've been preaching this verse of scripture more this year than I've ever emphasized it, because I feel that God is doing a new thing right now. Amen. And in verse 19, God prophesies and says, "I will do a new thing." And then he says, "Now it shall spring forth." And in the same sentence, he asks the question, "Shall you not know it?" He goes on and says what he's going to do. He says, "I will even make a way in the wilderness, and I will bring rivers into the desert." And so he establishes what he's going to do and asks us, in essence, what we are going to do. He says, "I'm going to do a new thing." And the question to the church is, will you know it? Will you be ready to see it? Will you be there when it takes place? Will you have your eyes on the will of God, your heart on the Spirit of the Lord? Or will we allow the spirit of distraction of 2021 to divide us from the new thing that God is doing? And I truly believe, after the response of the word that went forth, the response to the word last night, I believe that this church has made up in your mind and in your spirit to say, "I'm going to know it. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to receive it. In fact, I'm not just going to see it, but I'm going to be a part of it. Whatever God is doing, I'm going to be there when it happens, and I'm going to be a vessel of this new thing that God is doing, and I'm going to be a tool in the Master's hand. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be a part of it. Amen. I am going to be ready. When God said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness, and I'm going to bring seas or rivers into the desert. He says it in verse 15, preceding that verse, he says it in verse 15 that he said, I make a way in the sea and I make a path in the mighty waters. And then when he says, I'm doing a new thing, he says this new thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so for us to be a part of the new thing, we have to first realize that the new thing that God is doing is he's not bringing a way into the church and rivers into the church. He said, I'm bringing a way into the wilderness and rivers into the desert. In order to be a part of the new thing that God is doing, we've got to be willing to get outside of the box. A lot of times, for years, I've shown up and I've prayed. How many of you have been guilty of this for years? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. I believe this is biblical to do to an extent. But how many of you have been guilty of coming to church for years or whatever, and you've said, God, send it, Lord, send the rain, send the revival, send the harvest. And God is saying, I'm sending it, but I'm doing it out there. I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm bringing rivers to the desert, which means if you're going to be a part of what I'm doing, you got to get out in the wilderness. You got to get out in the desert place. You've got to get into the barren land. You've got to get into the souls who are lost, because I've already established my church. I've already built my church, but now I'm making a way where there seems to be no way. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. I'm doing a new thing. He says, shall you not know it? To reiterate from where we left off last night in Luke chapter 4, we know that in verses 1 through 4, to be reminded, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in chapter 3. Being full of the Holy Ghost, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Amen. It's very difficult to remember and to believe that we are spirit-led when everything seems to be falling apart, isn't it? When everything seems to be blowing up in our face and everything seems to be backfiring and everything is going wrong and there's nothing but pure chaos. There's a fine line between chaos and confusion. We know that God is not the author of confusion. And so oftentimes we assume that our chaos is confusion. And so this must not be God. However, sometimes in our season of chaos, we do experience a mindset of uncertainty. We don't understand. We don't know what's happening. So God's not the author of confusion, but he will allow you to walk into a wilderness of uncertainty. He will lead you into places that you never would have led yourself in flesh. The flesh doesn't want to go to the wilderness. The flesh wants to go to the spa. Amen. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I talked to a minister today and for probably 30 minutes, a man of God, who a full-time minister, and he told me, he said, man, I struggle to trust God. He said, I'm in a season right now where I'm struggling to trust God. He said, I feel like I don't know the voice of God anymore. He's, you know, later 30s and nearly 40 years old, and he's been in full-time ministry for years and done amazing things. Anybody would love to have the testimonies that this man has and the walk of God with God that this man has. But yet, even people like this that know, I'm doing what God has called me to do. I am where God has called me to be. Even people like that can find themselves in a wilderness where they're doubting their sensitivity to the voice of God. Because what happens when the voice of God leads you to a place that backfires in your face? And that's exactly what this man of God was telling me this afternoon. He said, I feel like I went where God told me to go, and I'm lonely, I'm discouraged, I'm nearly depressed, I feel like I'm in darkness, and I'm at the place where God told me to go, and I'm not seeing the things that I thought I would see, and I don't understand. And now I'm questioning, did I really hear the voice of God? Do I really know how to hear the voice of God? Because I thought by obeying the voice of God and following the leading of His Spirit that I was going to see this great thing happen. Anybody ever felt that way before? And I've preached it here about Moses. When Moses was called to go back to Pharaoh, back to Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 4, he goes back to Egypt after hearing the voice of God through a burning bush, speak his name and give the direction to him and then tell him what's going to happen. He says, when you go back and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go and you speak with the authority of my name, I'm going to bring out the captivity of Israel. And then you know the story when he goes back to Pharaoh and he does exactly what God tells him to do. And Pharaoh says, not today. And in Exodus chapter 5, you find where Moses runs back to God and says, hey God, in Exodus 5:22, what's your problem? He says, I did what you told me to do. I was led of the Spirit. I obeyed your voice. He says, I spoke to Pharaoh. Watch this. In your name. He says, but Pharaoh did not deliver the people like you said he would. But watch this. Then he says, and you didn't show up and do your part. Didn't know that was in the... Y'all need to read your Bible. He says, I did what you told me to do. I was led of the Spirit. And then everything backfired in my face. God just sits there like this, you know, just thinking, go ahead, suck your thumb and complain. Let me know when you're done and then I'll tell you what's really going on behind the scenes. God doesn't owe us an explanation. He doesn't owe us anything. We should be thankful that He called us in the first place. He could have called somebody else. Not just He could have. Let me say it like this. He should have called somebody else. He should have called Joe Smo over here who's been praying every day and he's anointed and he's been fasting and he's not been messed up with drugs and pornography and lust and adultery and all this mess. But for some reason, I'm a fugitive on the run. I'm 80 years old and he said, I want you to go back to Egypt. Woo. And then I have the audacity to say, I did what you told me to do and it didn't work. Being led of the Spirit is not an easy thing. It's a simple thing on paper because on paper it's one word, yes. Simple. But it's not an easy thing, is it, saints of God? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And do you know why He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness? To get ready. Because the Bible says that when He had been fasting, of course, as we preached last night, He afterward hungered. Fasting makes you hungry. And the Bible says that the devil said unto Him in verse 3, the first thing the devil will always attack you with is your identity as the Son of God, your identity as the chosen vessel of God. He asks Him in this season of fasting and in His season of preparation, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. He was tempting Him by questioning His very identity. Can I get a head nod from anybody that's being preached to right now? You know your spiritual identity has been questioned these last several months. The devil has tried to tempt you with that question. Are you really a believer? Are you really a child of God? Are you really apostolic? Are you really, there's been someone here that's been questioned. Have you really been filled with the Holy Ghost or is that just a bunch of nonsense? Have you really been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you were really baptized in Jesus' name, you wouldn't still be struggling with those same temptations that you left in that water 10 years ago. Are you really a child of God? Are you really a vessel of God? Satan has tried to tempt you with the question of your identity. But what you ought to do is find an ounce of faith that can rise you up to your feet and say, Satan, get thee behind me. I'm still a child of God. I may have failed. I may have fumbled the ball. I might have messed up, but I am still chosen. I'm still a child of God. I'm still a woman of God. I'm still a man of God. And one way or another, I'm going to get ready for what God has called me to do. Yes. Are you really a son of God? Jesus told him, he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The Bible continues, he went through the 40 days and the three temptations of Satan. And the Bible tells us in verse 1 that he was full of the Holy Ghost. But in verse 14, it says that he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. I'm not the first to preach it, and I hope I'm not the last to preach it. But it's not the will of God that you simply be filled with the Spirit. It's not the will of God that you simply had a moment at an altar with speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That's great. You need that. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the finish line. That is the starting block. The gun has gone off, and God, the moment you got the Holy Ghost, it's like the gun of the Holy Ghost went off and said, go, run. Now that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's time to return in the power of the Spirit. It's not the will of God for you to be filled, but you still sit. It's not the will of God for you to be filled, but you stay silent. It is the will of God for every last one of you to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout, get ready. Woo. The Bible says that when he prepared for 40 days with fasting, the Bible says that as he hungered in the Spirit, it transitioned him from just being filled to now walking in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible goes on and says, there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Man, I'm really trying to get better with this long-windedness of me, but trying to resist it tonight. Because let me tell you what God wants to do with Portland Pentecostals. He wants to parade the glory of his name through this church. Not just on this street, not just in this neighborhood. He wants to put the fame of his name of this church throughout this region round about us. But let me tell you how it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with just good preaching and just good church and just good singing and just good praising on Sunday morning and Tuesday night. It's going to happen when we get ready in the Spirit, when we set aside some things and we say, God, I want to be prepared. I want to refuse my flesh. I want to resist Satan's temptations. And I want to get myself ready. The moment he prepared himself in the Spirit, the moment he prepared himself and resisted the desires of his flesh and resisted the temptations of Satan, he came out in the power of the Spirit, and his reputation began to precede him throughout the region round about. And the Bible says in verse 16, watch this, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought. How many of you have been brought up here in Portland or in this area, somewhere in the Portland area? How many have been brought up in this area? Wait, raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's a good amount, at least 50%. The Bible says that he went back to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Let me just say it like this. It's time to show up where you've been brought up. After he had been baptized, do I have anybody that's been baptized? After he had been filled with the Holy Ghost, do I have anybody filled with the Holy Ghost? He went through a season of preparation led by the Spirit. He came out in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm going back to the place I've been brought up. Because I got to talk to somebody. I got to help somebody. The Bible says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, but he said, I ain't just going to church to have church no more. For 30 years, I've been going to the synagogue, but this is a different day. Because I've transitioned from just being filled to now walking in the power of the Spirit. See, when you go from that transition from just being filled of the Holy Ghost to being in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can't just go to church anymore. You can't just sit in church anymore. You can't just fold your arms anymore and sit through an hour and a half of a sermon or a service. You got to do something when you get to church. And the Bible says that when he got to that synagogue that day, he stood up for it to read. Verse 18, and he began to read what Isaiah had said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I don't believe that he just flopped the scrolls down and just said, I think I'll pick this scripture. He knew right where he was going. He said, I want to read what's happening right now. After I came out of this wilderness, after I came out of this situation, after I came out of this desert place, after I came out of this valley, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, I can't just sit in church anymore. I've been led through the wilderness. I've come out of the fire. I've come through the flood. I've been fighting some devils. Am I preaching to anybody that's been fighting a devil? You've been fighting a temptation. You've been fighting some opposition. I've got news for you. The Spirit has been getting you ready to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Turn to somebody and say, a preacher's never done preaching when he thinks he's done preaching. A good preacher's never done preaching when he thinks he's done preaching. Because he thought he was done preaching. The Bible says he closed the book and gave it to the minister and he went and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I've had a few services in Portland Pentecostals where there's some people I couldn't get my eyes off of. I love it. That's why I love coming here, because it keeps you on your toes. There ain't no dead church in here. But he got up and he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That scripture had been read many times before he had read it. That wasn't the first time they had heard that scripture read before. In fact, them Pharisees could quote that scripture. They knew right where it was, verse and scripture, chapter and placement. They knew exactly what it meant. And here he was, and he's preaching it to them. They had heard it preached. They had heard it taught. He handed the book back to the minister, and he sat down, but they could not get their eyes off of him. Something was different. He kind of looked like a cancer patient that had been through chemotherapy, because he had just come out of a 40-day fast. He was nothing but skin and bones. He was nothing pleasant to look at. It wasn't because he was strong and GQ good looking. It wasn't because he had the muscles and he had the fatigue and he had all physique and all of this. No, it wasn't because he had the stature. It was because he had the anointing. Yes, there's a physical, carnal temptation for me to get my physique in order and my hygiene in order and all that. And yeah, I want people to be able to look at me and say, man, you know, he looks pretty good and he smells pretty good. Man, he talks pretty good and he's pretty intelligent. He's pretty smart. He's pretty this, he's pretty that. But God, I pray that there would be such an anointing upon me. I pray that there would be such an anointing upon you that when I walk down the streets of my neighborhood, when I walk down the streets of my city, that the eyes of the people are fastened upon you and they say, there's something different about him. There's something different about her.
I don't know what it is. It's not their looks. It's not their hairdo. It's not their clothes. But there's something on the inside that's working on the outside. I feel something when I'm around them. I feel energy. I feel faith. I feel love when I'm around them. Their eyes were fastened on him, and the Bible says he began to say to them. Now, he's sitting down in the pews, but a good preacher ain't done preaching when he thinks he's done preaching. And the Bible says he said to them, here it is, put it up there, verse 21. This day, somebody shout, this day. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He didn't say this day has it been preached. He didn't say this day has it been taught. This day was the scripture read. He said this day, it wasn't just preached. We've been preaching it for years. We've been teaching it for years. But this day, it is a fulfillment. This day, it's been a demonstration. This day, it's gone from the thought of God to the action of God. It's gone from the Logos to the Rhema word. This day, it has been fulfilled in your ears. And they all looked at him and bear witness of him, and they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? See, when they can't understand you, they'll try to identify you with your past. They'll try to identify you with your first birth. They'll try to identify you with your yesterday. Isn't this lady that slept around? Isn't this the man that's been messed up with drugs just a few months ago? Yeah, I was smoking with you last week, but this week I've got the anointing of the Lord upon me. Yeah, last week I was cursing and lying, but this week I'm a new creature. I've got the anointing of the Lord upon me. They'll try to identify you with your average mundane, identity. Isn't this just a drummer? No, I ain't just no drummer. Isn't this just a salesman? I ain't just a salesman. I am a child of God. I am a vessel of the Holy Ghost. And I am ready for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Would you just clap your hands with faith in this house? I feel faith rising. I feel revelation rising in this house. Man, I feel like preaching a little bit. It's time for the Portland Pentecostals to get ready and say, I'm not just going to be a church member. I'm not just going to be a church attendee. I'm not just going to be somebody that goes on Sunday. I'm not just going to be a church junkie, but I am going to be the vessel of the Holy Ghost and fire. I am going to do what God has called me to do. I'm ready to see the revival of the Lord. I'm ready to turn my city upside down. I'm ready. Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I feel such a prophetic anointing upon me tonight. I'm here to let you know under the word of the Lord that it's coming. It's coming. The rain is coming. The wind of harvest is coming. I was preaching just several weeks ago at the youth conference, the Oregon, the Northwest Youth Conference, and the prophetic anointing of the Lord came upon me and began to speak and say that the year of 2021 was a year filled with division. The Lord said, I have allowed the spirit of division to run through this region. I've allowed that spirit of divisiveness and discord to run through this area. I have allowed that to take place in this region because I am separating the wheat from the chaff. But the Lord said, when the year turns 2022, I'm putting an end to that spirit. I'm putting an end to that wind of division, and I'm going to blow another wind. I'm going to turn that wind of division into a wind of harvest. I'm going to blow into that hashata yerebokota. I'm going to send my wind of revival, of harvest, of truth, of light. I don't know about you, but I want to get ready for that second wind to blow. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just lift your hands for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 What is this church going to be when that wind blows? Is this church that's going to sit on the sidelines and say, we're good with what we've got? Or are we going to say, Jesus, let us be a conduit. Let us be a vessel that your spirit flows through. What are you going to be as a man of God? What are you going to be as a woman of God when that wind blows through this place? Are you going to say, God, I'm good with what I've got. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm sanctified. Or are you going to say, no, 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 no. I've come too far to turn back now. I've seen too much to turn back now. I'm going to put up or shut up. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to deny myself and take up the cross daily and follow you. I refuse to sit in the grandstands. I refuse to sit on the sidelines. I want to get ready for the wind of revival. I want to get ready for the wind of harvest. I started with the two verses in Exodus chapter 19. Give me just a couple minutes and let me show you. I've skipped all the other 8 pages of notes. Forgive me, media team, for doing all the hard work of putting the scriptures on the stuff. Let's just go to Exodus 19 quick. In Exodus 19, they had come out of the wilderness, or excuse me, they had come out of Egypt, and they had been in the wilderness for just 3 months. Now remember this, they've been in Egypt as a slave for 400 plus years. Now they're free, they're just not where they want to be yet. Their freedom is causing inconvenience. And how quickly we can forget the inconvenience of last year. And 10 years ago, watch me now. You're free from sin, but you're not free from the opposition of the world. And there's people like myself and you, we're all susceptible to it. That we can think, man, the problems in the church, man, this is difficult, man, this is inconvenient. And forget about the problems of sin that we had several years ago. And we can say, yeah, but man, our church, man, we got this and we got this problem. And man, we got to deal with this and we had that and we got to go. But man, 10 years ago, I didn't even have a church. I didn't even have the truth. I didn't even have God. I didn't even have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of me. And this was like the Israelites who had come out of Egypt as a slave, and now they're free. They're just not where they want to be yet. They haven't seen the harvest yet. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Moses goes up to God on the mountain. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. He says, this is what you're going to say to Israel. Tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. How I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, how this would translate to us in 2021 is he would say, you've seen how I dealt with your enemy, how I have dealt with your past, and how I have dealt with your failures of yesterday. I put an end to all of that. I helped you through that addiction. I helped you through that confusion. I helped you through that anxiety. I helped you through whatever your Egyptian opposition was. And I brought you out as on eagle's wings. I carried you out because you couldn't get out yourself. Can I get an amen, somebody? So in verse 5, he says, now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So, to paraphrase, what happens is Pastor Moses comes off the mountain after having a prayer meeting with God, when God says, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. I carried you out because you couldn't carry yourself. He said, and the earth is mine. It ain't Egypt's. It ain't Pharaoh's. And I'll give you the earth if you'll just obey my voice and keep my covenant. So Moses says, I'll be right back. Let me have a meeting with the church. He goes and has a meeting with the church. He tells the church what God just told him on the mountain. And unanimously, the church says, amen. Amen. That's right. First of all, he says, hey, church, God's done a lot for us, right? Amen. And they got a unanimous amen. And then he said, it's time for us to do something for him. And they said, that's right. That's right. In verse 8, the Bible says, and all the people answered together. That was unanimous. Not 99%, not 80%. And all the people answered together and said, watch what they said in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 19. All that the Lord has spoken, that we will do. They didn't know what he would tell them to do yet. They just said, whatever he says. That's pretty dangerous. It's pretty dangerous to go to God and say, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. I'm glad you said that. All the people answered together unanimously and said, everything, whatever God says to do, we will do it. So Moses had his easiest hike up the mountain he ever had. He wasn't tired 1 ounce. He wasn't exhausted 1 ounce. He wasn't huffing and puffing. Because for the first time in history, and I don't think it's happened since, there was a unanimous vote from the church. We'll do whatever he says. I may have said it here before, but there's only one time in 2021 these days that you'll get a unanimous vote from the church. You'll get unanimous obedience, 100% obedience. And that's when the pastor or the preacher says, you may be seated. The only time in the church today you get 100% participation. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's right. You may not like the church. You may not like the music. You may not like the temperature. You may not like the preaching. But when he says, you may be seated, you say, I'll amen that. But here they are with such audacious faith, submission, radical sacrifice to say, whatever he says, we'll do it. Because he's brought us out of bondage. He's brought us out of slavery. Now my children don't have to be beaten and taken from me anymore. I don't have to hide my babies when we give birth to another child. And we don't have to worry about somebody taking them in as a slave. And I don't have to worry about not waking up in the middle of the night because somebody kills me in my sleep. And I don't have to worry about my husband being taken or my wife being taken. And I don't have to worry about digging someone else's wells and building someone else's houses and planting someone else's vineyards. He brought me out of bondage. Woo! So he runs up the mountain and he tells God, he says, hey God, I got good news. 100% everybody voted yes. And God says, okay, verse 10, he says, this is what I want you to do. Simply put, sanctify them today and tomorrow. In other words, he said, separate yourselves. To sanctify means separate yourself. Get rid of any distraction. Get rid of any deterrent. Get rid of any imposition. Get rid of anything that would inconvenience you from your walk with God. Anything that would cause you hesitation, a stumbling block. If it's sin or not, the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, sanctify it. Get away from it. If it's a relationship, a friendship, a voice, a thought, anything, rid yourself of it. Sanctify yourself. Verse 11, and get ready. Separate and get ready. Because God can't ignore your sacrifice. Oh, hear me, somebody. Some of you felt like God hasn't heard you. You felt like he hasn't heard your prayer. You felt like he hasn't seen your sacrifice. But I'm here to let you know, get ready. He said, get ready, because on the third day, the Lord's coming down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. And watch this, Pastor. After just 3 days... this is the power of your separation. Last night I preached about that daily sacrificial walk of consistency, commitment, consecration. Just a simple walk with God that says, God, I'll give you 15 minutes. I'll give you 30 minutes. I'll give you an hour every single day. I had you answer in your heart. How many of you have set aside an hour a day? How many of you set aside 30 minutes a day? How many of you set aside 15 or 10 minutes a day? One of my friends, Brother Mark Brown, has done this survey. The questions I asked you last night, he's done it all over the North American church. He's done it all over from north, south, east, and west. But he don't have people answer in their hearts. He says, raise your hand if you pray an hour a day. No, nobody. Raise your hand if you pray 30 minutes every single day. He gets all the way down to 10 minutes. And after years and years of doing this around all over North America in the apostolic Pentecostal churches, he has found that less than 10% of our Pentecostal people are praying 10 minutes a day. Less than 10% are praying just about 10 minutes a day, which means over 90% of our apostolic people aren't praying daily. They believe daily. They may have faith daily, but they're not praying. They're not talking to God. They're not sanctifying. They're not separating. And we wonder why there's confusion and why there's darkness and why we make wrong decisions and why we don't have direction. And we wonder, where are the miracles? Where is the revival? Where is the harvest? Where are the souls? Where is the God of Elijah? And watch the power of just consistent prayer. The power of 3 days of sanctification. Verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. It wasn't even late on the third day. He did it in the morning of the third day. That there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. That's the power of your separation unto God. The response you had yesterday, it wasn't just to affirm my preaching, to affirm my sermon. It was a prayer of separation saying, God, I want to get back to walking with you. I want to know you daily. I want to seek you daily. I want to find you daily. I want to diligently seek you. I want to know you in my heart. I want to hear your voice speak again. Let me encourage somebody. Let me motivate somebody. After just 3 days, is it possible that you could have a similar occurrence that the people of Israel had, who weren't even filled with the Holy Ghost, that on the third day there were lightnings and thunders and the thick cloud of glory came down and the voice of the trumpet was exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled? I want it. Lift your hands right now. That's what's happening in this place. That's what's going to happen in this place. That's what's going to happen in your heart. That's what's going to happen in your soul. That's what's going to happen in you. Put up 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 16. Let me go further because y'all didn't get it right there. I thought there was going to be a rush to the altar with excitement and faith, but it didn't happen. So let's keep preaching. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 16, it says, watch this. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Let me ask you a question. Where is the temple of God? Five people got it. Oh, you're starting to get it. It's catching on. It's like the wave at a ball game. It's starting to catch. Where is the temple of God? He said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Or in other words, with distractions. An idol is not just a bronze sculpture, a golden image. It's anything that is superior to our walk with God. That means, Don't get upset. That means if the first thing I do when I wake up is I check social media, that means that thing has become my idol. Because the scripture says seek first. Jesus said seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if I don't seek first God, whatever I seek first has become my idol. And he said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? So watch this. For you are the temple of the living God. Hath God said, as God has said. Somebody hear this tonight. This is a word of hope for you, a word of faith for you. As God has said, I will dwell in them. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe and stars, that I want to dwell, live in you, and I want to walk in you. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, he says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Watch this, and touch not the unclean thing. Here it is. And I will receive you. You're missing it right now. This is the God of heaven and earth saying, I will receive you. See, the people who have watered down the word of God and watered down the work of God's salvation have watered down that question to this: have you received God? But God says, forget about receiving me. When you separate yourself, I'm going to receive you. Think about this. How many jobs have you been denied? Your resume wasn't even looked at. They didn't even consider you for the promotion. They fired you. They laid you off. You didn't get the loan. You didn't get the mortgage. You were denied from all sorts of secular, frivolous things in this world. But the creator of heaven and earth says, I'm going to receive you. I'm going to take you in. I'm not going to resist your resume. I'm not going to deny your resume. I know there's adultery and fornication, and I know there's sin and failure, but when you separate, when you get hungry, when you get thirsty, when you get the desire for my spirit, I will receive you. He says in verse 18, and I will be a father unto you. Some of you have abandonment issues because you don't know your father. Your father abused you. Your father left you. He says, but I will be an everlasting father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Still no rush yet. Okay, we'll keep preaching. 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you think I'm joking? I ain't joking. I'm going to keep preaching until you get it. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Watch this. He says, but you are a chosen generation. Now, where do you think Peter got these words from? He got these words from God from Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19 and 5, God says, when you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be a peculiar treasure above all people. He goes on and says, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So Peter read the same chapter I read to you. And in the New Testament, he writes his own letter and says, let me echo what God said in Exodus chapter 19. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. Here it is, Portland Pentecostals. Here's why. Here's why you're a chosen generation. We'll give them a few seconds. 1 Peter 2, 9. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of him. Watch this. Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's this? We got a period and a comma. We got a period and a comma. If I remember correctly, that's a semicolon. So go to the next verse. He said, you're going to show forth the praises of me who called you out of darkness. Why? He said, because in your past, you were not a people. In other words, he's saying, you weren't my children. You weren't a church. But you are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy. But now... But now you have obtained mercy. There was a day in your past where you weren't a people, you weren't a church, you weren't the body of Christ, but now I called you out of darkness and I put you in my light, and you are my people. You are the body of Christ. You didn't have mercy, but now you have mercy. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises. I can tell in this place who's not a chosen generation. I can tell who's not called out, because he said, I called you out to praise me. If you don't praise me, you've not been called out. But it's time for somebody to realize, I have been called out of darkness. I have been given the light of hope. I have been given the light of truth. I'm ready to praise. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to sacrifice. I'm ready to lay down my life. Brother Eli, come here. This is my buddy right here. This is a man of God right here. He's embarrassed. Brother Eli, sorry, man. I got to move when I'm talking. Let's try this standing still thing. Let's just stand still. Yeah, we're going to stand still. We're not the first to lose a loved one. And we won't be the last to lose a loved one. You're not the first to lose a spouse. You won't be the last to lose a spouse. I'm not the first to bury a child. And my wife and I won't be the last to bury a child. Both Eli and I, we wish we could stand here with a testimony that God raised them up. I wish I could stand here and say, I'm praising God because in the hour that my daughter died, the Holy Ghost came down and resurrected her body. Many of us have the similar hope that we could say, I'm praising God because of what he did. Because he answered this prayer, because he healed this person, because he delivered this situation. But the scripture says, you need to praise God simply because he called you out of darkness. I wish I could stand here. I wish I could look over and see my wife holding our little baby girl, Sansi Ray, and say, I'm praising God because she ought to be dead. I don't have that testimony, but I've got the testimony that says I should still be in darkness. I should still be lost. I should be dead in my trespasses. But he called me out of darkness and gave me his marvelous light. How many of you have a similar misunderstanding or a lack of understanding that says, I don't understand why God didn't show up in that moment. I don't understand why God didn't heal in that moment. I don't understand why God didn't answer in that moment. But I can praise because he called me out of darkness and he brought me into his marvelous light. I should be lost. I should still be depressed. I should still have problems that I can't get out of. But God called me out of darkness. He separated me from my sin. He separated. I wish somebody would hear the word of God right now. Is this doing anything for some? I see about five or six of you really hearing the word of God right now. He may not have healed when I needed him to heal, but he separated me from my sin. He separated me. I was not a people, but now I am a people. I didn't have mercy, but now I have mercy. I didn't have a way, but he showed up and made a way. I didn't have direction, but he showed up and said, here is your direction. With every hand lifted just for a moment. Every hand lifted. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel a divine intervention of the Lord speaking to us a prophetic word of preparation saying, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because the Lord is about to come down in this region. The Lord is about to come down in this church. God's about to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's about to bring rivers in the desert. He's about to bring streams in the wilderness. Get ready. Somebody get hungry tonight. Because God is about to come down in this place. God is about to bring what we have been praying for. God is about to bring forth. God is about to spring forth. He said, I am doing a new thing. Come on, every hand lifted just for a moment. I want you to stand with me and help me pray over this congregation. Come on, every hand lifted right now. I pray a divine agitation in your spirit that would speak to you day and night. Just the two words, get ready. I'm coming. Get ready, I'm coming. Let me just share this for a second. If your arms get tired, you can put them down if you feel to. But I told Pastor this on Sunday morning that sometime early in the morning, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning of Sunday morning, just a few days ago, I had a dream. And it was one of those vivid dreams that seemed so real that I knew was from God. And the Lord spoke to me, and I know this sounds silly. Parts of dreams and details can be silly when you wake up, but it was like God either sent me a text message or he called me, one of the two. He contacted me through my phone, and the Lord spoke to me and said, get ready. I'm coming. I'm coming. The Lord spoke to me, and this was for me, and I wonder if it's for anybody else. But the Lord said, when I come for you, I'm going to look for two specific things. The purity of your spirit. The purity of your heart. The Bible says, blessed are they of a pure heart, for they shall see God. The Lord said, I'm looking for the purity of your heart and your spirit. The second thing was the Lord said, I'm going to look to see if you are reaching for the lost. And it was like in that moment when the Lord told me that, I knew I had to reach for souls instantly. I canceled my schedule. I canceled meetings. I canceled everything. And I began to go. And in the dream, I had just enough time to reach for two souls. I don't know who they were, but it was just maybe two strangers. And I reached for them. And I remember I went to both of them and I said, 4 p.m. Tuesday or 4 p.m. Thursday, which works best for you? I want to meet with you and talk to you about Jesus. One of them said Tuesday, the other said Thursday. And in the dream, I sat down with one of them and began to tell them about Jesus. And when I began to tell them about Jesus, the trumpet sounded and the dream ended. And I feel that spirit of urgency upon me right now, telling this church, get ready. Lay aside the frivolous things. Lay aside the trivial desires and the trivial concerns, and get yourself ready. I'm coming. And before I come, I'm going to parade this church. I'm going to parade the glory of my name through this church. Get ready, Portland Pentecostals. Get ready. Lift your hands right now. This man of God standing with me, we're going to pray together just a prayer of faith over this congregation tonight. As we pray, I wonder if somebody would step out and come to this altar with a spirit of urgency and desperation. As we pray tonight, I wonder if you would rush this altar with faith by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray a divine agitation to prepare your church. Get ready. Get ready. God is coming back. God is coming back. God is coming back. God is on his way. Jesus is on his way. Somebody get ready. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't delay your preparation. Right now, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, press into this altar. I'm asking every man and every woman, get close to this altar right now. Get as close as you can right now. And get ready for the coming of the Lord.